Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Casey, can you pick up this mic up a little bit? Testing, one, two. Either I'm getting old, or when... Oh, that's better. I don't have to try to... I can hear myself now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in church, amen? Good to see everyone out, and it's an exciting time where God's on the move. He's on the move in our lives, and I believe that. Let me start this morning by introducing some visitors we have today, and want to make sure that we get the names right. So got them written down here, so I can read them. So let's start with Amanda Colunga. If you'll raise your hand. This is Albert's daughter. We're so happy to have her here. Praise the Lord. I pray you feel welcomed, and you're welcome to join us, amen, in worshiping the Lord every Sunday. It's good to be in God's house. Andrew, did I get this right? Andrew Colunga, raise your hand. Amen. Now, your last name's Colunga, so you got to be related to someone named Colunga. So who are you related to? Maria. Okay. And Albert, and okay, so thank you. I pray you feel welcomed as well. And if Raul Cabrera, raise your hand, and Marilyn, they're back. Praise the Lord. We're happy to have you here today. And this morning Alyssa was asking, how'd you find the church? And I liked their answer. We Googled it. I like that. So many of you know Richard, or you may not know, is helping us with a website. And we're almost ready to go live. I'm hoping next week we'll officially announce it. And all the sermons are on there. So you can listen to it on your phone. Isn't that awesome? And so that's soon to come. We'll give you more information on that. So you can hear the sermons on the phone or on the internet. Well, today, if you're a visitor today, you're more than welcome to stay after church and eat. How many like that? How many, come to church for the first time and they're going to feed you. That's pretty good. You got a good deal. What we're doing is we're going to have a lunch fellowship, and we're going to fellowship one with another. And we're raising money for summer camp. And at the end, we'll lift an offering. Just the idea is this, and I thought it was a genius idea, but not everybody thinks it's as genius as I think it is. But normally after church, you go eat somewhere, right? Whether it's at McDonald's, Olive Garden, some of you go home, buy groceries, go home. Whatever it is, and there's no amount, but this is just between you and whatever you would normally spend after lunch. The idea is to put it in the offering. And then instead of the community getting the profits of what we do, we're raising money to go to camp. So that's kind of the idea. I kind of like it, but everyone thinks their ideas are the best, right? So, but that's kind of what we're going to do today. And so you're more than welcome to stay. And at the end of the service, if the men of the church will just grab chairs and stick them against the wall, you'll see this place become a cafeteria like that. But we've done it before. We'll do it again, and we'll bring the tables from the back. And I'm looking forward to the fellowship. I enjoy fellowshipping with people in church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Also, a reminder, as you're receiving your IRS refunds, those of you who pay your tithes and offerings off of IRS, we're asking that you label the envelope IRS. And what we do is we put that in a special project account. And we'll pray about where to use that specifically to either build something in the church or buy more equipment or whatever it is. So just label them for us, and we will be able to allocate it to that. Praise the Lord. Wow, there's a lot of announcement today. My sermon is brief, so we'll be good. Michelle is having a worship workshop. So I'll let her maybe explain a little bit about it at the end. But if you are interested in worship, and you have either a instrument ability or singing ability that you want to learn more about worship And she's going to have a workshop on next Saturday, February 27th. I believe it starts at 10 a.m. to like 3. I think she's providing lunch. I'm not sure. Bring her sandwich. I don't know. She'll let you know. But I think that's an important thing, that if you have a passion to sing or to learn, and it doesn't mean that you're committing to anything permanently, and vice versa. It doesn't mean you're permanently doing it. Just if it's in your heart, and when you pray and read your Bible at home, you have this passion, you know who you are, then just come, and you never know what God will do. And all of us have gifts, and God's going to use them accordingly. So if that's you, come out February 27th, Saturday. Praise the Lord. Let's pray and get into God's Word this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that what you've done in worship today, Lord, your presence and you drawing us close to you and holding us in your arms, Lord, that we would take that heart and that mindset into our Word this morning, that we just receive into our hearts what you're sharing to the church. And Lord, you are a God of transformation. You're a God that changes hearts. And Lord, more than anything, Lord, what we need is hearts to be changed. Lord, more so even in the church. Lord, we get used to going through the motions, Lord. But our passion this morning is that we're not going through the motions. Lord, that our hearts are being transformed from the inside out to become more and more like you, Jesus. So Lord, this morning I pray that you empower this time, this community, this church, Lord, that we receive and are ready to live the life according to your word. We give you honor and praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God's good. Praise the Lord. Keep Jesus close in 2016. You know, sometimes when you say these things, you know, sometimes people who don't go to church all the time may be like, they're crazy. Keep Jesus close. You know, he died 2,000 years ago. Can't be close. Not everyone understands, right? But when we say to keep Jesus close, it's a year in 2016 that I believe the church needs to be intentional about knowing God. You know, when you have a relationship, whether it's a marriage or a friend, you go through a process of getting to know each other. Amen? You know, a newly married couple will get married and they're surprised how much they need to change their husband or wife. And they try. And then for the first, as Pastor Green taught me, the first 5 years, they're supposed to become one, but they spend the first 5 years trying to decide which one they're going to become. Right? That's the way it is. Oh, it's so true. But you need to know the person. And I've come to this relation. I shared it with you last week. God knows us. The scripture tells us. He knew you before you were created. So I'm going to get away from saying that phrase that God wants to get to know you. I think what it really is God wants us to get to know his character. Because when we know his character, you will start understanding why he does what he does. Because sometimes we get confused. God, that wasn't in my plans. God's not confused. Amen? He's not confused. Knowing God's character. I want to share two concepts this morning. And then I want to kind of put it together in that sense of knowing God's character. You know, as we begin to understand God's character, we begin to trust him more and more. You see, when you know God is looking out for the best for you, and you know that when you know God. Amen? He's looking out for the best. And when you know that, you begin to trust him more and more. You know, whenever we say, I'm going to put Jesus first in my life, we all say it. We all want it to be, but the reality is that we all know that we struggle taking that wheel, the driver's seat, from time to time in your journey. But when you say, I want to put Jesus first in my life, that takes a level of trust. Because whenever you let anybody drive that car, you have to trust them, right? You don't put a 3-year-old to drive a car because you don't trust them. So as we get to know God's character, we get to increase in our trust, and then we get to increase in our faith, and we just let God, you've got this. I'm on along for the ride. It really what it comes down to, as you mature in Christ and you grow in the Lord and you're on this journey, you get to the point where like, Lord, you really are in control. I'm just going to enjoy the ride. It's when you fight that you're in the wilderness. Just as soon as, the sooner in life you can say, I give up, Lord. You're in control. I'm just going to follow. And really do that from down in here, the more you will see the Red Sea split. The more you would see Goliath fall down. The more you'll see manna being delivered in the desert and water come out of a rock. You know the stories, right? The more you say, Lord, it's yours life, not my life, the more you'll begin to see his hand move. It's the truth. But it gets, how do I get to trust him? You got to know him. You got to know God to trust God. And I'm not just talking about the words, I trust you, Lord. I'm talking about living, I trust you, Lord. Amen? And God's character, here are 2 points. God's character. Let's read God's character in Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. This is who God is. This is how he thinks of you. It's good to know how he thinks of us. And this is an example. For Jesus said these words, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. God's character is to save things that are lost. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep, and he wants to illustrate it, and he illustrates it by the sheep, and he says, and one has gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of our Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. It is God's character to pursue you, to keep you saved and to safe and to not perish. It is his character to pursue you. It is his character. How many of you have lived a Christian life? And yes, you took a little U-turn and started doing your own thing. I mean, I've done that. But God pursued me and he pursued you. You are here this morning because he never has stopped pursuing your heart. And many of you maybe who didn't even grow up in the church and you just, God pursued you anyway. Because it is his will that all come to repentance. That is God's character. It is his character to bring the lost sheep home. When you understand that, he loves you. He'll do anything to find you. He'll leave the 99 that are going okay to go find you. Isn't that an amazing God? The creator of this universe takes time to pursue you. The Holy Spirit, his presence, is pursuing you. This morning, he's pursuing you. Many of you came into church ready to worship him. Some of you maybe didn't. He still pursued you. He wants you to know him. Because when you know him, you can trust him. Amen. Amen. Second point, and it's my last point. Told you I was going to be brief. It is clear. Let's go to Isaiah 59:1. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. You are important to God. He loves you. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a scripture we have up here. Jesus Christ, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There was a time Isaiah 59. There's a time where the children of Israel were struggling to put God first. They were getting distracted by so many things, and they've forgotten the God that got them out of Egypt, and they just kept forgetting, and they were in sin, iniquities. They were not living right. They weren't doing the right things. And this is the scripture that the God brings forth to the children of Israel. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. God loves to save, and he hears us. He says, but, in other words, I want to save you. I want to hear you and answer your prayers, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So I want to, this is two distinct characters of God. One, he is pursuing you. Two, sin separates us from God. Amen? These two things are God's character. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The children of Israel sinned against God, and because they were not repentant, their sin was separating from God, and God couldn't hear their prayers because of sin. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, the last scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Many of you in this place have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. The Word of God tells you, when you're that person, seek those things that are above. Not sin, not the world, but seek those things that are righteous. Those things that are Christ. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So as you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, we've got a commandment. Be diligent about doing the things that are right, which the children of Israel were struggling with. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, that's that surrendering part, that dying to self part. When you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and you're living for Him, it's a death. Jesus Himself said, you want to live, you got to die. It's not talking about physical, it's talking about your will. You driving has to die. Amen? For we are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, we die, Christ lives in us. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Then it goes through a series of kill this in your life. See, it's good to be honest with ourselves. Amen? He says, kill this in your life. Mortify. Kill it. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, which is sex outside of marriage, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, conspicuous, covetousness, coveting things, which is idolatry. Putting anything before God is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh unto the children of disobedience. Like the children of Israel, who were disobedient. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all things. Put off anger. Amen. Anger is important not to ignore. Many times we justify our anger. Because Jesus got angry when he at the temple, right? But that was righteous anger. It's important that we deal with anger, with wrath. It is not your job to settle the score. Amen? God says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And that's what He's asking us to do. Malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Yes, those swear words are filthy communication. Amen? Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man, which is his deeds. This is the point that I want to really stress. We all are sinners. We all these things I read, some of you may have, most of us may have broken some of these yesterday or this morning. Yeah. That was too loud, Norma. That was too loud. Being honest. I like that. So none of us are perfect. So in the Christian journey, it is so important to not try to become perfect overnight. It is important to understand this concept. You are new in Christ. And because you are new in Christ, He has empowered you. You have the ability to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to overcome sin in the world. And it's a journey. It's a walk. As you get to know God, you will become more Christ-like. Because He loves you. And it says here, and in verse 10, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of Him that created him. Wherefore, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and He's in all. You see, God doesn't look at people and He doesn't have favorites. He'll go after the one lost sheep, regardless of who you are. That's His character. It is also God's character. He hates sin. Amen? God does not want us to sin. He wants us to continue to be blessed. We read in the Old Testament how God says, I cannot hear you because of your sin. It's so important, church, that we keep putting our sins up front at the cross, praying, asking God to forgive us in our journey, in our walk. Be willing to be perfected. That's such an important phrase. Nobody is perfect, but be willing to admit your faults. Be willing to be perfected. And you will be growing in the Lord. God does not want us to sin. You know, God's looking out for your best interest. You know, when the Bible says don't be unequally yoked, it's for our own good. Parents, you should be teaching your children that when they date, they should be dating a believer. Amen? Many times, well, we don't want to tell our children. No, parents, let me repeat. You need to teach. Now, of course, when they're grown up, it's a different story. It's a little late, but you can still tell them you change your mind. But it's important, parents, especially as they're young. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked, and that's for a reason. Because He wants to hear us. He wants them to have a blessed life. Amen? The Bible, when it says don't lie, it's for our own good. When it says no fornication or intimacy outside of marriage, it's for a reason. When the Bible says don't get drunk, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's for a reason. Amen? It's not a list of do's. God's not holding a hammer over the head and every time you break one, boom, boom, boom. He loves you. Remember, He will leave the 99 for you. Amen? God wants us to live right and to do right because He loves us. If you combine these two topics, God's character is to pursue you, and God's character is to hate sin, it explains why We experience what we experience in our Christian walk. Let me give you an example in this question. Why do we have passion to be right standing with God? Every one of you in this place has something in your heart that you want to be right with God. Amen? Amen? You want to know why? Because He's pursuing you. He's pursuing you. He's leaving the 99 and He's looking to be with you. He wants you to know Him so you can trust Him. So there's one. When you know God's character, that He will leave the 99 for you, it would make sense why God always comes back and taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, live right and do right. And the second point is answered in this question. Why do I feel convicted about my sin when I'm in His presence? And the answer is this: because God hates sin and He wants to perfect you. Amen. Amen? See, when we understand God's character, what we're experiencing actually makes sense. We have a passion to live right, to do right, but we mess up. And when we mess up, He convicts us, because those two things are true about His character. He will leave the 99 for you because He loves you and He hates sin. Amen? So when we sin, He convicts us. And we are to be repentive. So in your Christian journey, know that the reason you have passion to be right with God and the reason you feel bad when you disappoint God is because it is God's character to pursue you, and it is character to hate sin. It's who He is. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray this word about who You are, Your character, two characteristics that You have, will help us to understand this morning that You're pursuing us with passion and You love us. And You hate sin. And You want us to be right standing before You and give our, just put our sins at the cross. And we know, Jesus, that Your blood covers our sins. But You're pursuing us. You're in the process of perfecting us. And Lord, we accept that as a church. We receive that as a congregation. None of us are perfect, but Lord, we love You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is going to have Michelle give a